Why don't you give the Lord an ovation of praise this morning? You may be seated. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. It's going to be a beautiful 2 days. We're going to pray that these next 2 days are the best 2 days of your entire year. That today and tomorrow is going to just be a whole different thing than we've experienced all of 2020. And I believe that because today I want to just share a message about Christmas peace, about Jesus and how Jesus brings the peace that is needed for all of us, for us personally, for us with God, and for us with others. And when I speak of peace, I speak of a condition that talks and is defined as harmony, well-being, prosperity, a freedom from a disturbance, a freedom that gives a sense of quietness and tranquility. Now, if anyone fishes, you know in the streams there's different parts of the stream. There's the rapids, which is really fast. It's loud. It's noisy. You can't talk. If you're talking, you seem like you're more yelling to the person next to you. But then all of a sudden, you'll find a bend where the stream begins to turn. And then all of a sudden, it's like quiet. See, that's the peace of Christ that I speak of today. That our life might be like the rapids. That everything that we're walking through, or we have gone through previously, has been like a set of rapids. Loud, noisy, boisterous, making and having something happen in us. And it hasn't given us the ability to feel that there's well-being, that there's a feeling of tranquility. There's a feeling of a freedom from disturbance. But I declare today that in the name of Jesus, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as we invite him to be a part of our lives, as we function and we move in him, and allow him to be a part of our homes as well, that peace can come. Peace, the Hebrew word is shalom. It talks of safety and prosperity, success and well-being. And when you read the word, meaning the Bible, it's mentioned over 350 times in the word. Peace, shalom. 350 times. I don't know, as a parent, I look at things differently now, being a parent, being older, that when I realize that it's mentioned over 350 times in the Bible, that must tell me that it's important. It's like a parent, when I tell my kids something one time, or when my mother or father told me something one time, as a kid, you're kind of like, but by the fifth time, you know, if you got to the fifth time, right? If you got to the fifth time, there must be something important about it. Think about it as a kid, don't touch the stove, it's hot. Don't touch the stove, it's hot. Don't touch the stove, it's hot. But what happens with most kids? What do? We touch the stove. And then we realize, oh, what she's been saying or what he's been saying is true. I shouldn't touch the stove, it's hot. And now I'm crying and I got ice on it or whatever. Well, peace is mentioned roughly 397 times actually in the word. 397 times. So therefore, it's very, very important. The Bible says in Psalms 29:11, the Lord will give you strength to his people and the Lord will bless his people with peace. How many of us need peace today? I just need peace today. I know for me personally, 2020, with everything that's going on in my life, I need peace as well. When I preach a message, it's just not for you, it's also affecting me. I need the peace of God in my life every day. Being a pastor, being a husband, being a father, being a son, you know, being in the generation where I'm still raising my children, but now I'm transitioning to help my parents as they get older. Everything that's going on with the virus, everything that's going on with people with employment, I believe we all need some peace. But today, the peace that I talk about is the peace that truly will change us forever. When we read in the book of Luke, it tells of the story of Jesus being born, that the child would be conceived by a virgin, and that this child that would be born that day, Luke chapter 2, would be the Son of God. Emmanuel, God is with us. His presence is all around us this day, but we even take it a step further with our walk with Christ, that he's in us. But I still love at this part of the season to the scripture in Isaiah chapter 9, When it says, "For unto us a child is born," we talked about this last week a little bit. "Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." See, Christ is the Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, that he functioned in his human form, but yet still God, with the greatest wisdom known to mankind. And he shared that wisdom, and he taught that wisdom, and he told everyone that they can have the same wisdom in that dimension in his Father. And see, Mighty God tells us that, yes, he was human, but he was also fully God. And sometimes that's a stumbling block for people. But our faith tells us, and what the Word says, that that's true. Eternal Father, that he's the way for everlasting life, and he taught the plan. And he released love, and he released care and protection and provision. Prince of Peace, setting people free from sin, from bondage, and from spiritual death. That's who he is. That's who he is. Peace. Three important areas for us this morning before we take communion with peace. The first one is very, very important, and that's peace with God. That through Christ, we can have peace with God. Well, what does that mean? It means that when you go back to the book of Genesis, it means after God created the heavens and the earth and God created Adam and Eve, they had this beautiful relationship. It was like the greatest relationship, I believe, known to mankind. They with one another, but then also them with God, because God would literally come into the garden with Adam and Eve and spend time with them in the cool of the day, the Bible says. Imagine that the creator of everything would come down and meet with you in the garden and talk with you and spend time with you. I mean, it was beautiful. You know, imagine the talks and how they talked and what went on there. And they had this amazing relationship. It was beautiful. There was joy and happiness. There was peace. There was divine fellowship with God. But it didn't last. It didn't last. And what happened was, we know they partook from the tree that they were told not to take of. And when they did that, it broke that peace and brought a disconnect. It broke that tranquility. It broke that sense of well-being. It broke that sense of peace. It wasn't there anymore. All of a sudden, everything changed. The fellowship was different. It was the first time that man was truly separated from God, now at conflict with God. So it wasn't perfect anymore. And it was because of the sin. And it wasn't compatible. It was almost like trying to take a round wooden dowel and trying to put it into a square wooden spot where there's a square. It just didn't fit. There was no peace. There's no peace between God and his creation. It was no longer harmony. There was no longer that comfort. There was no longer that tranquility. It was all gone. And the Bible says this. It says that the inequity had separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. And so sin caused this break of true peace between the creator of the heavens and earth, the God that you and I serve, Abba Daddy. But what I love about God is that God so loves us, and he so loved his creation, that he didn't want that feeling. He didn't want that separation to be that way. So he puts a plan in motion, and the plan is to send his son from the throne room, Jesus, to become fully human but fully God, Mighty God, to walk this earth teaching and being a demonstration of kingdom principles, ultimately dying on the cross for you and I. And because of the death on the cross and our faith in who he is and what it was, it now brings back the peace that was broken in the Garden of Eden. I love that. That in Jesus, I now have peace with the Father. I now have peace with the creator of the heavens and earth. I have peace with the one who knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. All because of Jesus. Because he was born in a manger and will later die on a cross for you and I. I love that. The Bible says this, that Romans chapter 5. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It doesn't say that I have peace through God through the pastor. It doesn't say that I have peace through God through my husband, my wife, my children. It doesn't say I have peace through God, you know, because I'm super educated and I hold 4 master's degrees. I don't hold a master's degree. I'm not at peace with him because of that. I'm at peace with God because of one thing and one thing only. Because of Jesus. That's why. That's it. It's not the worship. It's not the Sunday school programs. It's not the church building. It's not the denomination. It's because of a relationship with Jesus, because God sent his son to earth to eventually die. I now have peace. I've been reconciled. I have been brought back. And you know what the greatest thing is with this? Is it doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter what you did when you were a teenager. Because through forgiveness, and then through turning from that way and going a different direction, God forgives us, but sometimes we hold on to it and we say, well, I'm wrestling with God and there's no peace because of who I was. No, when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, the slate gets washed clean. Now, there may be some effects of what you chose to do, still a part of it, and you're still working through that in the sense of, I don't know an example offhand, but he forgives. We have to also forgive ourselves and let go and move forward and move forward and move forward. And so Christ, this Christmas season that we're talking about, he came to bring peace with the Father. And so maybe you've been struggling with your walk with God. You've been wrestling. You've been having those conversations. I'm no good. I did this or whatever it may be. Let's not have that conversation anymore in your head. Because you will talk yourself into a corner or into a dark place. Let's talk like this. Yeah, I did that, but God, because you came, you'll now bring peace and you'll reconcile me to the degree that you've called me to be. And it's through Jesus. It's through Christ. He's the one that brings the peace. See, also know this, is that through Christ, our spiritual life and relationship with God is no longer in turmoil. It's no longer in the state of unrest and the feeling of emptiness with no hope. See, when Christ comes, he brings hope. When Christ comes, he fills the void. He fills the emptiness that's within us. His presence in the Holy Spirit does that. And so we know that through Christ we have peace with God. Know this too. I think this is important for many of us here today, that in Christ we'll find peace for ourselves, where we're at right now, today, at this moment, that it's Christ that can bring the peace that is needed. It's Christ that can bring the tranquility, can bring the calmness. It's Christ that, as I look at the definition, it's Christ that can bring the well-being. It's Christ that can bring the harmony, the freedom from disturbance. Now, disturbance could be mental. It could be our thought process. It could be how we're feeling. It could be a broken heart. It could be the loss of a love. It could be a multitude of reasons why there's a feeling of disturbance, but it's in Christ that he begins to deal with that disturbance inside of us. Inside of us. And so we have peace within us. God knows our unrest. He knows why we may be anxious. He knows how we feel on the inside. He knows our thought process. He knows everything about us. He knows the amount of hair on our head. Some have more and some have less. Bible talks about he does. That's what the word says. We know this. So he knows where we're at today. He knows our deepest thoughts. He knows our deepest hurts, but he knows our joys and our happiness as well. He knows our desires. He knows every detail about us. But he also knows that when you're at a time when peace is needed, he knows that you're at that point. And it's through him. And it's through his son, Jesus. He knows that the broken world around us affects us. He knows that 2020 has really affected many of us in this church, as well as in our communities and our neighborhood. He knows that we're uneasy at times going to places. I drove by Wegmans yesterday. I don't think there was an empty spot in the parking lot. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to keep on rolling by here today. You know, it's like, wow. You know, I was a little uneasy. I wasn't even in the store, and I was a little uneasy. I was like, I'm not a big crowd person to begin with. I was like, yeah, I'm going to maybe come back later. But, you know, when we're feeling that, when we're feeling the turmoil and stuff, the unrest that's maybe around us, Christ knows that. Paul actually offered us some appropriate words in Philippians. He says this. He says, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about all the things that are causing unrest and you're losing your peace over. He says, but in every situation, pray. Pray. And petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God. God, I am uneasy about this. Lord, I cannot sleep. I have unrest in me. God, I just feel like this is happening. God, I feel this is my mind is going this direction. So we say, Lord, you know it. Here's the request. God, I lay it before you because your word says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice what it said. It says, "Your in the peace of God that goes beyond our own understanding. Of we could be in the middle of everything, can be going around and flying around us, but we can be have a sense of calmness and all. Why? Because of Christ Jesus, the scripture says. That's why. That's why. I shared not too long ago when my father had his first stroke about 9 weeks ago. I shared that, you know, I was praying and I'm like, okay, God, now what? I wasn't like panicking. I wasn't, you know, crazy. I was, you know, I'm like, okay, now what do we do, Lord? I'm like, I wasn't going to allow anything to disturb that connection because I needed the peace of God as we're working through this, as we're driving to the hospital. So it's, you know, we have to understand. I laid it before him. God, what do we do? What do I say? How do I handle this situation? I don't want to get emotional. If anyone spends time with me, I'm a pretty emotional person, big time, depending on the situation. And so, you know, but it was the peace of God that sat there with me in the emergency room as he laid in the bed and his face was drooping. And he's like, let's go. I'm like, you can't go anywhere. He's like, oh, no, I can, Tommy. Give me my shoes. No. It was the peace through it all. Nothing that I can conjure up on my own. I'm a pretty strong person, but I couldn't conjure up peace for myself because of by what God put in me. And because of Jesus, the peace is in me. He's the reason for the peace that we have. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. And that's so important. If is God with you, that you can lean into on a daily basis. It's the Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit in me that helps me, that brings the peace that is needed. It's the Jesus, let me repeat that, it's the Jesus in me. It's the Holy Spirit in me. This is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I've invited God, and I've invited his presence to be with me. I've invited God and his presence to lead me, to guide me, to help me make decisions in my everyday life. I've invited him to be in control. Let me repeat that. I invited him to be in control, not me be in control, him be in control. Because my thoughts sometimes aren't the same thoughts as his. My desires are not the same desires as him for my life. So I have to have him in control. And when he's in control, he's leading and he's guiding. But he's bringing the peace that is needed. He's bringing the peace that is needed. And so, Emmanuel, God is with us. And, you know, as we practice the prayers and as we pray and as we read the word, as we get before God with thanksgiving. And let me encourage you too, because this will help too. When you're praying, don't just ask for things. Spend some time just loving on God, letting him know how important he is, exalting him, telling him how beautiful he is, how amazing he is. Instead, you ever around a person who every time you see them, you know they're going to ask you for something? It's to the point where you're like, oh, God, here they come, right? You know what I'm talking about? Anyone? Oh, you don't know anyone like that? See me after service. I can get some people your name and your number. Well, you don't even see them. You're like, oh, they want something. They want something from me. Let's not have God view us like that. Oh, they're just going to, they now want to spend time with me because they want something from me. Sometimes I come in here to pray and I never pray. I just worship. I come in and say, hey, I'm going to pray today, but I end up spending, you know, time just worshiping, telling God how awesome he is, telling how much I love him, how much he means. And just, we should do that, not just asking. But while we're praying and worshiping, what happens is we're being connected closer. And as the connection gets better and stronger, there's that divine connection where that peace just begins to be poured in us. It just becomes, and then we become transformed in his presence by his Spirit. He shapes our perspectives. He shapes all that we are. It's peace with God. It's peace within us because of Jesus. Jesus says this in John chapter 14, 27. He says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. That's what Jesus said. He said, peace I leave you, peace I give you. Tomorrow morning, if we were good, kids, if we were good, there may be gifts under the tree. Right? And we're going to go and we're going to grab them and we're going to take them. Well, when Christ left and when Christ walked, he gave the gift of peace. It's just a matter of receiving him. It's a matter of taking him and inviting him in. You get the whole package. Jesus isn't like buying a new car where you have to negotiate all the extras. You know what I mean? You got to negotiate if it has a backup camera. You got to negotiate if it's cloth or if it's leather. You got to negotiate if you get a sunroof or you don't get a sunroof. You got to negotiate over a color because one color costs $700 more than another color just to have it there. You got to negotiate if you're leasing on the miles. You got to negotiate on the turn. That's not like Christ. When you accept Jesus, you get the complete package. You get the top model with everything that you possibly could imagine. No negotiation needed. It's just a matter of receiving him and taking the gift of peace. Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will release peace into you. And so we have peace with God, we have peace with others because of Jesus coming, or with us, and then we also have peace with others. That Jesus can help us have peace with other people. Now, how many people know that, man, we need some peace with some other people, right? Even today, walking in our communities and where we shop and what we do, there's just some people that rub you wrong, right? Like, they just, like, if you're a dog, they pet you with the fur the opposite way, right? Y'all, but you don't have any, please let me know who you hang out with, because I need to hang out with some of them people. Or the person, while you're waiting in line, they keep bumping you with the cart. And after about 20 minutes, because there's 900 people in front of you trying to check out, your leg is now raw and bruised, and you're just still trying to smile and keep that Jesus face on. In your head, you're going, bless them, Lord, because if you don't bless them, I'm going to bless them. Fivefold ministry up in here, you know what I mean? Right? But what's great is Jesus being born, Jesus coming, Jesus dying on the cross, accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, inviting him to be a part of our lives, inviting him to be inside of us with his Holy Spirit. He helps us to have peace with other people. He helps us to have peace with others. John 13:35 says, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. He teaches us how to love and to be and to have relationships with other people, to be an example for others. See, Jesus can help me love the unlovely. Those who that just, you know, and not even in the world, in our families, in our own homes, right? We got some people that, you know, I don't know about this year, but in the years previous, you get all the big family parties, right? And you know certain people are going to show up, and you're like, man, I can't spend 4 hours there because it's just going to get, we're going to start talking politics. And, you know, that's the worst thing, to talk at a family party's politics. You know, but we're going to talk politics or religion. We're going to talk religion or we're going to talk this. And we just know it's going to be a big fight. And before you know it, the two cousins will be fist fighting in the front yard. And I didn't want to be here to begin with. And so I just want to go home. So you're uneasy. There's no tranquility. There's no rest. There's no freedom from disturbance while you're eating. But let me tell you something. If we go in filled up with the presence of God, if we go in prayed up with the presence of God, whatever craziness is going on, we can be at peace with people. We'd be like, God bless you. I'm so glad that you were able to be here this year. Bring it in here and give me a hug. Where before you were like, yo, before COVID, you were like, yo, go back into the family room, okay? Why? Because the presence of God will help us love those who we may have conflict with. The peace of Jesus will help us curb our emotions and our feelings towards other people. It'll give us the strength to make it through. It'll help us control our tongue. It'll help us control our responses. This is in Christ. You guys told you the stories. I think God does it on purpose. I really do, for me. I think it's on purpose that every time I go to a store, it seems like no matter what line I get into, I get the soulish cashier this side of the Mississippi. Okay? And I'm talking like the other day. Beep. One, two, in my head, three, four, five. I brought the cooler bag to put all the cold frozen stuff in. Why are you putting the potato chips in the cooler bag and the raw chicken in my regular bag? Three, four, because I ain't said it out loud yet. I'm just thinking this in my head, okay? Just being patient. Lord, give me, right? And then I didn't say a word. I just walked over and started repacking them. Because I'm like, I can't put that raw chicken package in there. It's just not going to work, okay? It just isn't going to work. Six, seven. But you know what? Didn't say a word. Smiled. Wished the person a Merry Christmas. God bless you. Have a beautiful day. Have a beautiful Christmas season. And off I went. And you know what? It's the end of the day. I wasn't too wigged out. You know, I got through it. Years ago, oh, Lord. But what happens is because Christ is in me, I can have peace in those uneasy times with others. When you're around somebody and someone starts yelling and screaming, and you're just kind of like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. No, I have peace. We have peace. We have peace with others. See, because it's Jesus. He gives me the strength. He's my rock. As the word said, he's my fortress, he's my deliverer. See, Psalm 18, 1 through 3 says that. So the Lord is my strength, he's my rock, he's my fortress, he's my deliverer. That my God is my strength, in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. It's Jesus that gives me the peace. He's the rock in me. He's the one I stand on, the one I'm anchored to. In the biggest storms of my life, I'm anchored and I have peace. With other people, I have peace. With God, I have peace. Why? One name, and it's a name above all names. It's Jesus. That's why I have peace. And see, the peace of Jesus brings security. It brings rest and refreshing. It brings reconciliation. See, this is what Jesus does, and it's a gift, and he's a gift. And so as we celebrate this Christmas season, let us never forget the greatest gift is Jesus himself. You, through him, you will have peace with God. You will have peace with yourself and within you. Peace will rest upon you because of Jesus and his presence. And then we'll be able to have peace with others around us. With others around us. You know, I had a conversation one time with someone. He says, you know, we never got along. And I'm like, yeah, because I really never loved Jesus the way I do today. There's a big difference. Because Jesus changed who I was. And it allowed me to impact those that we may have been like this. Because of Jesus, the divide between me and the Father closed. I have a relationship with God because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, I can walk through life when the world seems upside down. You turn the internet on, you read something, you turn the TV on, you see something. In the midst of everything, because of Jesus, I can say, okay, all is well. All is well. I can have what the meaning of peace is. Harmony, well-being, a sense or a freedom from disturbance, a sense of tranquility, a sense of feeling of a quiet time. I can have this in Jesus, and so can you. And so this Christmas, this is what we celebrate, his peace. I want to pray for you right where you're at before we take communion for peace in you, for peace around you. This has been a very difficult year for many people in our church and our community, from the loss of jobs, from the loss of finances, from the loss of loved ones, from the struggle of everything that's going on around us. It's been very difficult for many people. But I want to pray for you and for those that may not even be here, that what we're sharing this morning, the peace of Jesus, would touch their lives. Can I do that? Can I pray for you this morning? Can I pray for that peace where you're at, that God's peace would consume you, that it wouldn't just touch you, but it would consume you from the very top of your head to the very bottom of your feet, to the very outstretched of your fingertips, that God's peace would just pour in. Because we need it, right? We need it. Our country needs it. Our kids need it. You know, parents need it. Business owners need it, right? Government leaders need it. Pastors need it. You need it. And so let's pray before we take communion. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Father, your word has declared that you came to be fully human, but to be fully God, to lay out the plans and purposes of the Father. But as you've come to fill the void that brings back the peace with God, you also tell us that you leave peace for us and that in you is peace. And it's just not just any type of peace, but it's a peace that would even pass our own understanding. And so, Father, I pray right now that for every person that has been affected this year, where peace no longer seems to reside, where peace no longer seems to be a part of their daily routine, Father, I pray that you begin to release from the heavenlies, that there would be a tangible evidence in the earthly realm of your peace this day. That Jesus, you would pour out upon your people. That Holy Spirit, you would fill them from the top of the head to the soles of their feet. That peace would flow through them. That peace would surround them. That peace would overtake them this day. Father, the feeling of tranquility, the feeling of well-being, the feeling of a freedom from any for that peace, but only you. Only you. And God, we stand on that promise that you've given us. We stand on the words that you spoke, that you'll carry the burden, that you'll carry the burden, and you'll give us the rest and peace that is needed. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 We're going to close today's service with communion. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, but he came to fulfill a prophecy. He came to fulfill. He came to reconcile God's people. He came to fill the void. He came to give the remission of sin. He came as fully human, but fully God, to walk the earth as God's Son. And in him, by the breaking of his body and the shedding of his blood, there was that remission of sin. We have forgiveness. We have the opportunity to spend eternity with the Father. And as much as we celebrate Christmas, we must never forget that he came to die. He came to die. And you know who he came to die for? You and me. He loved us that much. That is an amazing act of love. And Jesus sat with his disciples and he tried to explain it, that, you know, he would be going on and he'd be leaving there. And he actually took two symbols that most of us can connect with, bread and wine or bread and juice. And he used the bread as the example of his body and the juice as the wine as the example of his blood. And that it would be broken, meaning it would be put on the cross. He would go through the tremendous beating leading up to Calvary. And that while on that cross, the blood would pour out. And that because of that, after he rose from the grave, he fulfilled the promise. But it doesn't stop there. We have a daily relationship with him. But we celebrate the birth, but we also celebrate the communion elements. So take a moment to reflect. Because he says, do this in remembrance of me. Say, where am I? Am I where I need to be with you, Lord, today? If not, just take a few moments and lay it all before him. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for what this is or for that is, and get right before we take these elements. Just take a moment or two. You can close your eyes or you can keep them open. Where are we at today? We serve an open communion. I wanted to say that earlier. Anyone is welcome to take communion with us this morning. If you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, we encourage you and invite you to take communion. If you didn't have those, you can grab your elements and they're in the back still. So I'm going to pray for this. Father, I thank you that we stand here today holding the elements, symbols of your body and the blood that was shed on the cross. That God in this is life, eternal life, fullness of life here on earth. Father, I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. I thank you that he was born in the manger and that he walked earth and he was the perfect example of who you are, releasing all your attributes and your characteristic traits. Father, we learn from them. We receive him in all that we are. And God, we try to be that example of living the same way. So today, Father, I thank you for the body that was broken. We celebrate it this day. We remember it. Let us eat. And Father, the blood. There's nothing more stronger, more powerful than the blood of Jesus. For in the blood is life, and in you is life. So, Father, we thank you for the blood that was shed. We honor you. We love you. Let us drink. Lord, as we depart this place today, we go back to our families and whatever we may have planned, let us truly understand that Jesus in you is peace. Peace with the Father, peace within ourselves, and peace with others. Father, I pray that as we continue to walk and move about, that that peace continues to overtake us and consume us. We love you, God, and we thank you for the beautiful gift of peace. Lord, we ask that you be with us this day. Father, I pray traveling mercies. I pray that every family experience over the next few days would be beautiful, that, God, there would be peace even in the households. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't we give the Lord a hand clap this morning for all he's done. And that concludes our Christmas Eve service morning. Thank you for coming out today in the busyness of Christmas. But we'll be back Sunday, 8:15 at 10 a.m. We'll be back to worship him. And I'm going to share a message on how to handle people and culture. How do we respond outside these four walls? I want to teach you that before we get into the new year and some new series. Just a quick reminder also, January 4th, I believe it is, it's a Monday, is the first day of our 21-day prayer and fast here at the church. So we'll talk more about that on Sunday, where we're going to pray and fast for 21 days for our church, for our families, for our communities, for our government, for everything that's around us, for the world. And we're going to believe for some supernatural things. And so that starts that day. So if you want to start getting prepared for a Daniel fast or a partial fast, or we'll see where the Lord's taking you with that. And then small groups will be resuming back in January, whether live or Zoom. So we have some people that want to do some Zoom small groups. So there's a multitude of things about to be rolled out in January. But have a great day tomorrow with your family. Enjoy Christmas, and I hope to see you guys at one of our Sunday services. And so God bless you, and have a wonderful day.